February the 17th, 2022. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Miraj Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. As-salam alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Wahiuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradiomirajspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we have a couple of announcements, and then we will continue where we left off yesterday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam mubarak. We're asking everyone to make a dua, a short prayer for our beloved pioneer, Sister Stephanie Mumin. She passed away. Her janazah is Friday at 11 a.m., February the 18th, 2022. The janazah service will be held at Forest Lawn Memorial Garden, 189 Gill Lane, Eastland, New Jersey. Also, our beloved brother Pioneer, we are asking everyone to make a prayer for our beloved brother Pioneer, Brother Edward Shabazz Wadu. He passed away. And we are asking everyone to say a dua for our beloved brother. Brother Edwardu's janazah is Saturday, February the 19th, 2022, live Zoom meeting, ID 858-4481-5631, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., Al-Islamic Burial Service, LLC 279 Roosevelt Avenue, Newark, New Jersey. Janazah prayer at 11, 8 at the funeral home, interment at Rose Hill Cemetery, 395 East Linden Avenue, Linden, New Jersey. The Quran, Surah 30, Ayah 30, Religion of Nature. So the Quran is like, but it was revealed in the night. And was revealed in the darkness. It was brought in the darkness to come by way of darkness. So what kind of darkness? Not the darkness of ignorance, but the darkness of divine nature that God put in the creation. And the Quran came following the natural way of God. It didn't come through man's learning. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, didn't get the Quran through man's knowledge, through human knowledge. He got the Quran through divine inspiration, and by divine inspiration, Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, was made to see that this light is the supported creation and the laws of creation. So there is darkness of creation and the darkness of natural law. The darkness of natural law, even in man's bear witness, supports the light of Quran. Allah says it is deen of fitra, the deen, the religion of nature, the nature in which he completed all things, the very pattern on which he made the creation and the human being. The Quran, Surah 31, Ayat 14, mother bears child in pain. A mother, if she can sacrifice, if she can be a martyr, not to kill herself, not to kill her blood, if she can sacrifice herself, be a martyr to live selfless, die to this world, die to the temptations of this world. This world is saying to the mother, you need some pleasure. Leave these babies here unattended. Leave them with this no-account woman or with those youngsters over there. Yes, sister, you're going to be tested. And I'm going to tell you, you are going to have to be courageous and brave and fearless. You have to be so bold and have such faith and conviction that you will kill yourself to please Allah. I don't mean cut your throat. I mean kill your desire. I know I'll be happy if I could go to the show today. I know I'll be happy if I could go with them to the museum today or to the park or to the party today. I know I'll be happy. But if I go, the children won't be happy. They won't be protected. Stay there. Live in pain if you have to. Protect those youngsters because they are our tomorrow. And let me tell you something, sisters. Let me tell you something. Allah will be your protector. Yes. There are people who will say, oh, sister, I pity you. You never go anywhere or any place. You have never had any enjoyment. But you will know in your own heart that Allah will show you a show bigger than their show. Allah will enter into your private life, and he will give you comfort. He will give you intelligence. He will give you faith that all you are doing will be rewarded, and you will have your party, and you will have your pleasure. They will be suffering in it, but without the pleasures, and be in heaven. Man kills selfish desire. Live in prison of self-imposed. And the man, brothers, you have to kill yourself. I mean, kill your desire for these freakish things of this world. Kill your desire for it. You have to live in prison as long as we are in this un-Islamic society. We have to live in prison, and our prison is the prison of Islamic life, the prison of Islamic laws, Islamic ethics, for building an Islamic society. And if we do this, we can change this whole world. There was nothing in this world that won't fall or move aside for us if we establish Islamic purity, Islamic examples, in this society. God loves all humanity like mother loves all children. The Quran Surah 31, Ayat 14 to 15, mother traveled upon travel, born, bore him. El Hadith, page 1, 82 and 1, mother loved three times. So the true, real mother, she cares about all of her children equally, no matter how bright one will be over the other. She will be awfully hurt if she thought that the bright one was looking down on the other one. That would hurt her terribly. She might even give him a good whipping, a very good one. He might cry for mother. He might cry for mother later when he thinks about that whipping he got. He might say, oops. A good mother cares about all of her children. And that's how God wants us to see him. See how I have put it into mother, my care for human beings? See how she cares about all of them? And no matter how much one excels another, when it comes to the right treatment and the right respect, she brings it to them and enforces it. Isn't that wonderful? And this is just one feature of the good mother that I'm giving you. She has many good features. Different religious beliefs, yet family relations keep. The Quran Surah 31, Ayat 14, family relations keep, though different religions. The Quran Surah 64, ayat 14, amongst your spouse, children, or enemies. Even if my parents reject the religion and try to get me to come to Christianity, knowing that I have gone to Islam, I am not to obey them. I am to try to keep good company, good relations with them in this life. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want us to see family members broken. He wants to see family members stay together if possible. So if you can't live under a parent, then you have to stay somewhat away. You have to go to yourself. But still, you should remember that this is your parent and keep good relationships with that parent. Go visit them and call them up on the phone or respond with them. Let them know that you are their child and you love them. That you dislike, your dislike is not for them, it's for the problem that exists between you, you see? So this we have to understand. Now, I think that the question here would be, is there is enemies to us and our families? Not necessarily. Didn't say every family. It is referring to the family in general. So that in some families, you are going to have enemies to you and your religion. And another question might be, what does it mean by cover up? So this is English expression. The Arabic expression doesn't mean cover up, because cover up in our language means to hide a wrong. We don't hide a wrong. We don't encourage a person to be or hide a wrong, but don't harp on it. Don't dwell on it. And don't be so quick to point it out. It doesn't mean cover up. It means pass it by. The Quran, Surah 32, ayat 4 to 5, thrown over heaven and earth. So what is meant now in this revelation from God, Quran, that his throne extends now over the heavens and the earth, is that man must not depend upon his human urge, his natural urge, for the establishment of his society or his community life. Man must be educated. So man must discover knowledge, wisdom, science, and direction for his life in the creation of God. So with education, this is possible. The study of the skin enables the dermatologist to help us more with skin problems. The study of the whole body as a human life form. So the Quran, Surah 32, Ayah 7, Allah created you from clay. Clay is a flesh element of the society. Clay is a fresh element of society. So the book says he made the man from clay. And the Holy Quran said that God began the creation of man from something no more than clay. He didn't say he made him from clay, but he started with something no more than clay. So that gives us a little more understanding of the story to help in much more knowledge come out as we continue to read the Holy Quran. Now, let us look at clay. It is something that can be formed with hand. You can put it into any shape that you want. So here is another description of the weak or the flesh, new elements of the society. They do not have knowledge. They are not prepared. They cannot resist the world because they do not have anything to resist it with. So whatever hand they fall in, those hands leave an indentation in them, and we have to constantly be battling with the forces of the world to keep them from putting indentations in the young minds of our girls and boys, forming them in the wrong form before they can get strong to protect themselves. The Quran, Surah 32, Ayah 7, creation of man from clay. The Quran, Surah 7, Ayah 12, I'm better, you created me of fire. The Quran, Surah 23, Ayah 12 to 14, man from clay, sperm, clot, bone, flesh. So man from clay means you had no power to resist God. So God tells us in the Quran how he makes us and how we get out of that original makeup. And he shows us again how to get back into it. He says he began your creation from something no more than clay. So what is meant by this clay? Clay is manageable material. Clay is agreeable material. So God did not take any disagreeable material, stubborn, rebellious, arrogant material, when he wanted to set about making his human being. He picked something like clay, meaning that when he started to form you, you had no power to resist him. You were unformed. You had no mind of your own. You could not question. You could not resist. You didn't have anything to use to question with. So the Quran says, the angel said, oh God, we have no knowledge except what you gave us. Iblis from fire, by my faculties, burning the midnight oil. But Satan said, I refuse to bow, God. I'm better than what you are asking me to bow to. You created him from black mud fashioned into shape, and you created me from fire. So he was created from something like fire, meaning I have come into my form by rational activity. I have been burning my faculties, burning the midnight oil. I have been thanking God and figuring out things for myself. I have come with a civilized order for society. I came up with it the hard way. Now, do you want me to bow down to somebody just because they are morally right? Just because they are spiritual? God, I don't want to bow to something made of earth and fashioned into earthly shape, but does not have a powerful rationale, not lit with the power of reasoning, logic, and etc. He did not come through the struggle like I did, beating my way through the wilderness, conquering the soil, the water, the vegetation, the animals, and even brought the angels under my power. God, I am the keeper of these angels. Don't you see now that electricity, magnetism, heat and all the other forms of energy invisible behind these things are now in my control? God, don't you see that even intelligence bows to me, that even human nature bows to me, that even human spirit bows to me? So this thing that you are going to pick is something beneath me, something that I will have to carry along like a baby. I have to give it civilization, food, clothing, shelter, schools, and etc. Now you are going to ask me to now bow down to this cheap black stinking mud thing? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when I have breathed into him of my spirit, bow down to him. And if you don't like it, get out of here. God said, get down from here. So Allah's breath is a sign in creation and scripture. So we have been thinking that God said, woo, blowing, and man stood up. No, indeed. God said, let me tell you about your creation from clay. Let me tell you how I brought you from clay to thick water. God began preaching scientific facts of creation and human nature through his prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, through his divine sign in creation. That was his birth. God's man say, I used to be stinking mud, fashioned into shape. Now I'm sweet smelling. The mud has turned into a mirror. The state has turned into a clean morality. So you still see the same old physical form, but you better bow down. Because God has ordered, and he says, come willingly or disliking it, you have to bow. Man from clay, sperm, clot, bone, flesh. Tesla is baby. Tesla is clay. So he says he begins the creation of the human being from something no more than clay. Then he formed the semen drop, thick water, the germ of life, from the male that goes into the female. He formed them from a thick water semen drop, nystatin. When we look at that semen drop, it looks so we can see sparks in it. So David has taught us to look at this as filth. Don't even think semen drops that is filthy, sinful. But God says, look, you're talking about a stage in your development. So that is not the first base. In fact, it is the second up the ladder. So the law that I accepted was something like clay, meaning something that had no mind or knowledge to resist or to question with, and had nothing but the nature God had given it. So when knowledge came, it just obeyed. Isn't this the nature of baby? Clay in Arabic is teflon. Baby in Arabic is teflon. The two words have the same basic letters, T-S-L. So you see, when the book says he created the human being from something like clay, to those people who received it first, it meant I created you from a baby, from a child who had no knowledge to rebel, no knowledge to stand up and challenge with. You could do no more than just accept it and come into form. That is what God is saying, because the baby is like clay. So we take the clay and we make any shape we want out of it. Clay in dictation is symbolic of reminder. So we can make it soft, which means soften the society. And somebody speaks it and speaks to it politeness. We can make it hard, and somebody speaks to it and it asks, who in the hell are you talking to? Then somebody comes with a hammer and the clay just falls all apart and can't be put back together. But that saw clay, they can come with a hammer and it leaves an indication. It did not break it up. He remembered that indication is a reminder, a sign. Don't do that again. You don't want a whole lot of indications all over you. That hard one, you can't correct it. You can't discipline it. You hit him and he breaks up, crumbles down, and you have to throw that clay out. What are you going to do with that clay? You can't do anything with it. Sperm is like water, but cloudy, represents the world's mind. The Quran says then from the clay or from the baby nature, it makes us something like water, but cloudy. So when we come out of that baby state and begin to learn something of the world, the mind that was clear gets cloudy. Now, our mind has been formed. First, we were dealing with nature, and the mind had not been formed. Now, we are not dealing with the nature. The flesh was good. Was there anything wrong with the flesh? That is what the Holy Quran is telling us. Don't you see that I make babies, and they do not have anything wrong with them, and they are flesh? But once a mind starts to form in them, then you start having a problem because you put the wrong thing in their mind. So their minds are like kind of foggy. I give them a kind of fogginess, a foggy mind, from the start because I want them to grow into the light so they will appreciate it. But I never block out all the light. Just a few areas are foggy. But when you take over their mind, then you begin to let that keep on going. After making the clay, then it says a semen drop, a drop of thick water fluid or a little life germ from the male body. That's kind of foggy, but yet you can see through it. It is transparent. Then he says he put it, lodged it in a place of rest. Where is that place of rest? It is in the mother's care. When does the baby rest? He or she rests when it is mother's arms. So God gave that semen drop to mama. But we think it is talking about the womb of the mother, from the male organ of the man to the womb of the woman. We think it means just reading it literally. So the womb of the woman, but it means he put it into her charge. And in her charge, the child is at rest. He nurses on his mother's breast. He sleeps in his mother's lap. She by nature has been designed to give him the proper care. If nobody interferes with this, nature, it is going to develop to a high state. Clot of blood means some knowledge is in the mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then a clot of blood. Now we think of this being in the mother's womb again. That's from the semen drop, science tells us, the drop becomes a clot of blood. Not a clot of blood as such, but his mind is growing now and is no more transparent. Some objects have gotten into his mind. So when his mother first receives him, there was no object in his mind. It was just a little fogginess, the absence of knowledge. But his mind was pure like water, clear. But then with his mother, as he stays there in that place of rest, it begins to take on ideas from the society. These ideas from the society makes it a clot of blood, meaning that now it has human life. Blood is called a life. So human life is not physically body's life. Life here means knowledge from the human mind has come into the child's mind and has brought the birth of a human mind in that child. So before that child received that knowledge of our human society, it did not have a human mind. It just had a mind. And that mind was submissive and agreeable with truth. And not only that, with kindness. And I do not care how ugly the baby looks or how irritable it seems to be when it comes from its mother's womb. We can get a pleasant response from that baby. The little baby snarls and it has no teeth, but it shows us those gums. Sometimes it snarls, just can't hardly stop snarling. What he learned from us that he can snarl about? Nothing. Why is he snarling? Because God put it in his nature. God made flesh beautiful, submissive, kind, and loving. He did not make it simple. But we begin to feed our crazy, warped, distorted, lying, false ideas. And then the child takes on an ugly nature. So you are going to be a little while, but you are going to be better off, I assure you. We'll be stronger. You think you know where the power it is in this. No, the power is in God's guidance. You want power, just sit in here and listen, and you will have power. Blood, life of the body. Mind is the life of your flesh. Brain dead legally, though life is in the body. So he tells us in the Quran after the clot of blood, after we have gotten an idea from the society, where does the blood come from? The blood comes from the flesh of our parents, of people. So this means that the life of the body, the Bible says, blood is the life of the body. So the life of your flesh is your mind. Your mind moves your body. When your mind becomes dead, and usually it takes a brainwave test, ECG, and if they don't see any signs of activities in your brain, though your body is still alive, it calls you legally dead. So we are not talking about the physical blood. God is using these things to show us signs of a higher knowledge that he is pointing us to. And it is divine because those things speak perfectly the higher wisdom. So if God traces your growth from beginning to where you are right now and where you should be and show you into physical things that have taken place perfectly sequenced in your perfect order, that these things speak perfectly the reality that are in your life. So John 1:1, in the beginning there was the Logos, the Word. Word took on flesh, meaning divine logic took on your fleshly ignorance. Now, isn't that a proof? You're talking about proof. Can religion be validated? Is religion empirical knowledge? Can religion be legally substantiated? You fool, you. It is more powerful than any of the logic you have ever heard or ever will hear of. In fact, your logic is non-logic. In the beginning, there was the Logos. It is all logic. Yours is graphic logic. So the Bible says, in the beginning, there was the Word. So Word is Logos. Logos is from Word. It says, then the Word took on flesh. And the divine logic took on your fleshly ignorance. It had to bring your flesh up into took on means to take on responsibility for something or to challenge. If I take on Muhammad Ali, it means I challenge him. If I take on a problem, it means I challenge the problem. I'm going to solve it or try to anyway. So if I take on responsibility, it means I'm going to carry it. So the Bible says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word took on flesh, meaning that it challenged flesh to make it grow. I'm going to have to go to fight flesh. I want you to have some more muscles. Not only that, it took on the burden of flesh. So I know you are nothing but Teflon, baby, something like clay, but I'm going to push you until you become a semen drop and carry you until you become a clot of blood. It says that Word has taken on the flesh. It means God in divine truth and his message as the Word of real truth, real logic. Fetus lump means the mind been given thought from somebody else. So he comes into our flesh and begins bringing our mind up to high form, then a clot of blood, and after that, a fetus lump. So what is a fetus lump? A fetus lump is the clot of blood that has grown into a flesh lump. It is more than just blood now, but it is still unstructured. So what is this referring to now? We mentioned the clay. We mentioned the semen drop been put or lodged in a place of rest into the mother's child. So now the clot of blood is formed, meaning that the ideas of human society, the life outside of our bodies, our minds, is fed into that new child and given him the same blood, same life. Now, after that, God says he didn't make a fetus lump. And science tells us this is exactly true for the stages of physical development in the mother's womb. So the fetus lump, what is it referring to? Now, fetus lump here means that the mind has been given thoughts or the blood of the body of somebody else. So when those thoughts come into our mind, they are just going through the mind. But after a while, as a child, I begin to think I know. So when I begin to think I know, that means I have been formed as a fetus lump. It is not fluid anymore. It is not running unformed. It is not blood anymore as clot, or a thought that is just in the body. But it is a thought now that has taken on something in me. Fetus lump is flesh. My own flesh now is with this thought from outside. So it means that now I have begun to come under the thought from outside. So it came into me. Now I begin to form in the likeness of what I was taught. I have accepted society's knowledge that it has given me. So now I speak like you speak in tongues. So bone building is an edifice, and divine truth is edifying. Bone means law. But this is not enough. God says, out of the fetus lump, bones, it is not enough for me to talk like you talk. I have your mind and be formed into a clot of flesh, not the blood that you can just easily wipe the blood up. No blood clot, but if it clots, you can't wipe it up. But that fetus lump is flesh already. You can't do that. So the thoughts have been put in the child so long, you can't take them out that easily. You have to tear the flesh up and kill the thing. But God doesn't want it like this. It says he caused in the flesh bones to grow. And this is true in science. Your bones don't form before your flesh. Flesh formed, then bones, then the flesh. So what does this mean? When we speak of a structure, we call it edifice. And when we speak of logical structuring God's truth as a logical argument, we call it edifying. So in the New Testament, Paul said there is one thing to have the Holy Ghost, and there is another thing to have the power of edification. So the bones came in. It means now I have learned how to defend my mind that I've gotten from the world. I can reason by myself now. I know how to put the law of argument in structure. I can form a premise and then begin defending it by establishing this particular proposition and that particular proposition, and finally I structure my argument. So I have become an argument now. God made me Teflon, baby, that did not argue. But now I have become an argument. I think I know, saying, don't tell me. That doesn't mean that. That does not have to be right because you say so. Can you prove it? So I have become bone now. Another meaning of bone in scripture is law. Why does it also mean law? Because the law of logic is the law. So the argument that you give, you are following directions of certain things, you call laws of reasoning. So society then takes on laws, and they call them laws for society, but the law for the individual is the law of reasoning or his own logic. That is his own private law or his own private skeleton or his own private edifice that holds up his flesh. Some says, I have to defend myself. Don't tell me so and so. I have more sense than that. I can defend my own self. So thought is fluid. Flesh means my knowledge, bones is logic. So he means I can uphold my own flesh. So what is the flesh? The flesh means that which is with you, that has been given form and has no power of itself. So it is not mind, it is not thought. Thought is fluid. Mind is like a liquid body of laws. The flesh, something, it has taken form. So my edifying ability or my logic or my reasoning holds up my knowledge. So flesh means my knowledge. My flesh is my knowledge. So I can defend my knowledge, mean that I can hold up my knowledge with my argument, with my so-called logic. So bones are formed in the flesh. So logic or rational arguments has formed in my knowledge. So thought comes together, seasoned, and matures to make knowledge. So you see, from blood to flesh, and then in knowledge, with knowledge we learn how to defend that body of knowledge. And the ability to defend that body of knowledge is called logic or reasoning. And that particular body of argument is in the bones for the flesh that upholds the knowledge. So it says, thumma kalikin akhira. Thumma kalikin akhira, which means then another creation or a new creation. So after we have been made or created like this and have come into bones where we think we know everything, I can uphold my own. My flesh won't fall down like a lump. I can hold it up like a man. So the bones are in there now. The flesh is structured upright. My lump will not fall down. I have bones in my lump. I can uphold my flesh. After you get like that and think you know everything, God says, then a new creation. He has to create you all over again. You crazy, stubborn blockhead. You have the wrong understanding. You ask, how is God going to do this? How can God create me again? He said, he who formed you in the first time is more powerful to do it again. So didn't he create babies on earth? And didn't he form society naturally before this world went crazy and have all of these weird inhuman ideas? He know how it is supposed to populate and build up. He know how the edifying is to produce the edifice. The Quran, Surah 32, Ayah 7, everything created good, dignified. So God says everybody and things has been created with dignity and good. Respect a grain of seed, sugar, and your intelligence will be elevated. So the Quran, Surah 32, Ayah 7, everything created excellent, respectable. The Quran, Surah 32, Ayah 70, dignity, respect, everybody's thing. The inherent respect and honor that God gives us. Prophet Muhammad said, when God created everything, he created dignity and respect for that thing. So in that, and the thing is written, inscribed in everything or upon everything, dignity, respect, and honors. The Quran, Surah 32, Ayah 7, everything created excellent, respectable. So when we are working with anything, the carpenter has a respectful word. If he's good, if he's a good carpenter, he has a respectful word. God put that in our nature. So the thing that pleases us and satisfies us, we have respect for it. So we place high value on those things that bring great pleasure to us. So the musician that can play great music, he has an instrument. He loves that instrument. He has a social respect for his instrument. So if we keep the respect, God says, we have certainly made respectable everything. So the Quran, Surah 2, Ayah 62, whether Christian, Jew, Muslim, Sabian, the Quran, Surah 32, Ayah 7, good everything. El Hadith, page 2, 169 and 151, excellence in everything. 40 Hadith, page 64, 17, excellent, everything. Al-Islam is dependent upon God alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he will publish his religion himself. In the Quran, don't think it's not going to be published. God will publish his religion himself. Look how worldly known Al-Islam is now. Look how worldly respected Al-Islam is now in civilized quarters of the world. Do you think you did that with your dawah efforts? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he will publish it himself. And how will he do that? In the many ways that only God can tell us, but as a small human being on this earth, I can perceive the many ways that it is happening because God is with all good. And God is with all good people. God supports all good efforts. So excellent morals in everything. So God had designed excellence for everything, as Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, said, excellence has been prescribed into the very nature, composition, constitution of everything by the maker of it all. God has put an inscription for excellence right into it. So whether you consciously do it or not, that's working in you as a potent power, a potent substance is working in you as a potent element to drive you to do better and better and better. And sometimes it eliminates you because you just won't respond. But it keeps you going. It catches the next one, your child, your daughter, your son. And it keeps going, pushing the humanity forward to faith, respect other religious groups. So the others thought I was to leave you with this, with you is this. As servants of Al-Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the path of God, in Al-Islam, you have to be aware that this is the time for inclusion, unity, cooperation. People who are doing similar works have to respect each other. Christians, Jews are doing similar work, and some other religions. If God recognizes other religions, you perhaps don't know anything about these people called the Sabians. So in the Quran, God recognized them. Respect the word of God. He recognized the Sabians. Did them enough to say, if you are one of them and you have faith in God and you believe and you do good works, you will have paradise. Your reward is with your Lord, God. So here we are in America in 1998. We are on this great planet in 1998, and we are seeing works done by the people of the book and by others who are good. So you have to appreciate that. Don't just hear it and say, since the imam has been talking to us, I don't really hate them anymore. You have to go further than that. Brothers, you have to applaud them, and you have to do it from your heart. You have to have it in your heart to applaud the good works of anybody. The Quran, Surah 33, Ayat 5, adopted child called by their father's name. 1 Corinthians 7:14, people called by my name. Revelation 22:4, his name shall be in their forehead. So name change. The tradition of taking a different name started in the Nation of Islam under the leadership of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Under his leadership, it was done to fulfill a need of identity for his followers. So many African Americans are very uncomfortable with themselves and still suffering from what we call identity problems. So the Nation of Islam made it adherent, very comfortable with their identity because it connected them back with Africa and to Al-Islam. So in doing so, it proved that they had an Islamic as well as an African past. Therefore, that made it very easy for the people to accept the new entity as their own. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad made Muslims synonymous with self in a kind of catechism. He said, what is your own self? And his answer was, your own self is a righteous Muslim. So for his followers, Muslims were not just an Arab. And he was correct because Muslims are all over the world. And they are of all nations. He also said, you will get a Muslim name one day. I was not given the authority to give you a Muslim name. Therefore, I give you an X. So name X means unknown. And we know it did not, we did not know our ancestral family names. I had always thought about that and wanted to know why he gave his followers an X. I had learned that X means unknown, and we are, as a people, did not know our ancestral family names. He studied our history and found out that the slave could not write English language. Perhaps some of them were good writers in Arabic or some African dialogue, because many of them were Muslims and their language was Arabic. So some slaves were from Sudan. and other places with Muslim population during slavery when the master wanted us to write our name. He said, write your name or put your X. And that is how the X got started. So the slave would put his X, meaning I don't have a name or I don't know how to write my name. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was saying the same thing. You don't have a last name. Therefore, I'm giving you an X. So choosing Muslim names complement your good nature. It is practiced all around the world that when Muslims embrace the religion of Al-Islam or Islam as it is commonly called, they take on a Muslim name. But if you have a good name with good meanings and you are comfortable with that name, you do not have to change it. We meet many Muslims who have African or Western names. It is my opinion that if they have good names, they are Muslim names, though by description, they are not. So Muslim names, after all, why do we take on a Muslim name? It is because we want a name that has good meaning. So we want a name that complements your good nature and the excellence of your being. So the best names are the names of God. And I find that many Christian names came from the name of God. So if you study some Christian names and trace their meanings and the history, you will find that many of them come from names attributed to God or are an attribute of God, or attribute of God, pardon me. So members of the American Muslim Mission changed their names in the tradition of their previous experience in the Nation of Islam. So the Nation of Islam was concerned with dignifying and giving our people a natural relationship with themselves and their whole life. And this is what we are trying to do. My advice is that if a person is comfortable with a name, he should keep it even though it is not a typical Arab or Muslim name. After all, we are concerned about our family relationship. And many times when a person takes on a new name, it hurts the family members. Many families do not have a problem with other members joining a different religion, but they are hurt when a family member takes on a new name. So to them, the new name suggests a kind of separation from the rest of the family. I do not encourage people to take on names without a lot of thought. If you want to take on a new name, discuss it with your family members that are not Muslims. You should say to them, I'm a Muslim now, and I would like to take on a Muslim name. Now, if you see that change your name is going to hurt your family, and the name you have is not really misrepresenting you, then you should give it a lot of before changing your family name. Now, I wouldn't want to be called John Doe. Look, if I had a name like that, I would tell my family, look, I'm sorry. If you all don't understand why I want to change this name, I'm sorry, and that would be it. I would take another name. I would like to repeat, if you desire to change your name, you should first consult with other family members before doing so. Father's name. The Quran, Surah 33, Ayat 5, adopt a child called by their father's name. The Quran, Surah 8, Ayah 75, family has rights. Telling a child he has no father walks the development. I hear some say, oh, he never had a father. I said, that is impossible. He had a father and a mother. They will not tell their children that they had a father, saying, he was no good, and I'm not even going to mention him to my son. And they will tell the child, you do not have a father. Every human being, every living thing had a mother and a father. And we should not even tell them that. It puts confusion and burden on their soul and psyche, and it will walk their development many times. It will deform their spiritual, mental, psychological development. So the psyche, so do not tell them that. They hear other children, and they know that everybody else has a father. That is a great burden on them if you say you had no father. They all had fathers. I do not care if he was a murderer, a rapist, will rape you. Still, he had a father. Don't tell him he did not have a father. Say you had a father. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saw fit to keep him out of your life. He would have been bad for you. Or he was not the kind of person that would make you a good father. But acknowledge that there was a father. So even if he was a criminal, you are supposed to acknowledge his name in Islam. You are supposed to say so-and-so is your father. So when the child is out of your charge, he should be able to make his decision for himself as to whether he wants to see his father or be with his father, even if he was a criminal. So the rights of human life is more important than personal feelings and stuff. They have rights to human life. So the right to human life is also the right to a father and a mother. And to know that you had a father and a mother, even though one of them or both of them are bad people. So faith in human essence, not self. The Quran, Surah 33, Ayah 6, prophet closer to believer than themselves. So if the imam had said, faith in the common essence of all human beings, faith in the common essence of all human beings, that essence that God created, that essence is typified in Prophet Muhammad. So when we say faith in Prophet Muhammad, we are saying faith in the human being. So the human being as he should be. So we are not all as we should be. We have to have one amongst us. Stands for what we all should be. Then we have faith in that one, you see. And faith in that one will motivate us towards being what we all should be. We will get closer and closer to that acceptable model that Almighty God approves. God approves Prophet Muhammad. He is the acceptable model. So the prophet is human in his perfection. So we have faith in Prophet Muhammad, and not merely because of his essence, his humanism. That's why I said there, still a problem, even if we put it in that way. It's not because of his human essence alone. It is faith because now the human essence have been blessed with divine revelation. We have faith in Prophet Muhammad because he really is us in our perfection. But he is more than that. He is us in our perfection with the revelation from God. We don't have faith in a human being simply because he is true to his essence. Obey human essence earns revelation. So we have faith in the human being because now he has received the guidance from God. And it is not my essence that delivers me, brothers. My essence, if I remain true to my essence bring me to become worthy of God's favor. If I be true to what God has made me, and God has made me a Muslim, if I be true to my nature, to my essence that God has made, and yield my will to him, become a faithful person, then God will reward that with the blessings of inspiration. If I'm truly worthy, and if it is his will, he will bless that particular human essence with revelation. Sadaqallahu Gadeem. Surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. Before we conclude, we want to remind you that to make the prayers, we'll make prayers and dua. Our beloved sister Stephanie, who passed away, Stephanie Momin, and her janaza is Friday at 11 on February the 18th, 2022. The janaza service will be held at Forest Lawn Memorial Gardens, 189 Gill Lane, Island, New Jersey. Also, our beloved pioneer, Brother Wadu, Brother Edward Shabazz Wadu, passed this morning, and we are asking everybody to make a dua for our brother. He was a pioneer, and we ask Allah to forgive his sins and grant him paradise. Brother Wadu Shabazz, the Naza is Saturday, February the 19th, 2022, live Zoom meeting, ID 858-4481-5631, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., Al-Islam Burial Service, LLC 279 Roosevelt Avenue, Newark, New Jersey. Janaza prayers at 11 at the funeral home. Interment, Roosevelt Cemetery, 395 East Linden Avenue, Linden, New Jersey. We will continue this next Wednesday and Thursday, inshallah. It only means if it please God. Tomorrow is our beloved brother, Imam Musa Muslim Abui, a name given to him by Imam W.D. Muhammad. He's a scholar, and he's the grandson of the Honorable Dr. Booker T. Washington. He will be on tomorrow at 7. Be sure to turn in. He's a scholar. He has books out, and you should purchase his books. And we thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise, Maraj Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again, and we thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.